Hi! Welcome to Humans of Van Life, the most raw, authentic, and diverse podcast from the road. If you like this podcast and want to support it, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. It truly helps. Thanks a lot. Hello and welcome back to Humans of Van Life. I am here with Ira Wolf at Descend on Bend. <laughs> and I'm really, really excited. I just basically gave Ira a little download of why I'm out here doing this. And we're just going to kind of jump right into things.
Okay.
How are you feeling today?
Feeling good. Yeah. Hot and dusty and very happy.
Nice.
Yeah. All of the descend feelings.
I was just going to say that like sums up the weekend.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
So something I want to acknowledge first is as I was walking over here with my equipment, I was thinking to myself that I have a little bit more nerves than normal.
Okay.
And I think it's because I've really, like, looked up to your music.
Thank you.
And been moved by it and been following you for a while. And I started thinking about that. I was like, so what's the difference, though? Like, I think that there's a little bit of, like, star complex. Like, I'm sure you've heard that.
Sure, yeah.
And I was just, like, acknowledging that with myself. I was like, wow, like, this is, like, you're a human.
Totally. You know? Yeah.
But I think that it's so easy for us to, I don't know if it's, like, feel inferior, but I don't know, like, how, like, what is your experience with that? Like, do you feel like some people are nervous to come up to you, or?
Totally, yeah. It's actually been really strange because it's not something that I've dealt with my whole life, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very new thing. It's a strange place to be because I've definitely been on the other side of that, especially mm-hmm. with social media the way it is nowadays, where you feel like you kind of know someone because you follow them, or like you said, you look up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you kind of, like build this relationship in your head with a person that you've never met. So then when you do meet them, there's this kind of, strange brain thing going on where you, like, can't figure out how to interact with them on a human level.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is the, like, starstruck thing or something. But, yeah, I've definitely been on that side of it where I've met people and been like, I don't know how to talk to you because I admire you so much that mm-hmm. I don't want to embarrass myself or something like that. Yeah, I think it's, like, a insecurity or something.
Which I find so interesting because what else is going through my mind was, like, there's so many amazing musicians out there.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, what about if we had that awe-struckness to everybody?
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, what about if we didn't, like, idolize just a certain person? Like, what about if, like...
Right.
Because, like, I've been blown away this weekend by so many amazing folks.
Totally.
And so, like, if we brought that awe to, like, mm-hmm. each new relationship or even a new person that you meet...
Yeah.
I just think, like, isn't that kind
of... That's really interesting. Yeah, because I don't know what the difference is why we set certain people apart
mm-hmm.
As, like, bigger or better or other.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of dehumanizing in a way.
And that's not really fair to you, right? Because you're...
Sure,
a human as well. Like, you want to connect with all of us.
Absolutely.
And not feel like people are nervous to come up or...
Yeah. It's, like I said, I still haven't... It still feels really strange to think that somebody might look up to me or, like, feel starstruck around me or something because I'm like, oh no, I'm no one. Like, I just am a person living in a van and singing songs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it feels really strange to hear that actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge that, just to own, like,
sure,
that was
absolutely,
coming up and be honest. But yeah, let's just get right to it. So last night when you were on stage, you had shared with us, a little bit about how you came into this van.
Yeah.
From Go Westy.
Mm-hmm.
So would you mind just sharing that again with me?
Yeah.
Because I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
I would love to hear, like, the full story when that
happened
and stuff.
Yeah. So I kind of ended up in van life by default. It wasn't necessarily a super intentional decision or an intentional move. Like, I feel like most, or a lot of van lifers that we meet, you know, it's a very, like, trying to make a societal difference or, like, a different lifestyle choice than the standard. And for me, it was kind of that I was touring so much that I just kind of ended up living on the road by default. And I was in a Buick for the first two or three years.
Wow.
And then I had a friend who did a project. Her name's Madison Perrins. She did a project where she traveled to South America in a Westie with some friends of hers, and they did this photo project, and it was really, really incredible to watch. And that was kind of the first time I'd ever even heard the term van life. Mm-hmm. And they were working with Go Westie on this whole trip. And so I ended up reaching out to Go Westie just kind of on a whim, a like random hopeful thing, and just asked if they had an extra van that they would let me borrow, basically.
To basically tour around was
yeah.
your purpose.
Yeah, I kind of said, you know, I'm going to be doing this 6-month-long tour. Do you have a van that I could use? And I would, you know, promote you or whatever kind of work as a partnership. And to my surprise, they said yes, which was incredible. And so they gave me this van, a 1988 Westie camper. And I traveled in it for 6 months and wrote an entire album, basically, during that time. I was touring solo at that point in my life. And then at the end of the 6 months, I had to give the van back. The mm-hmm. partnership was done. And I was so brokenhearted because I had just never had a home on the road. I had been living on the road, but not... I didn't have a place to cook, and I didn't have a fridge, and I didn't have a bed, and to have the Westie... was a total game changer. It was something that I had never experienced. And so it was really, really hard to give it back, and it was a very sad experience. I felt like I was kind of losing my home because this was, as the title of my album ended up being, this was the closest thing to home that I had felt pretty much for the entire time that I had been touring. So eventually... making this story very long.
Good, yeah.
But eventually, I decided that I really, really wanted to be in a Westie again after that experience, after giving the van back. I started saving my money, and I reached back out to Go Westie a few months later and just said, hey, would you keep an eye out? Like, I know Ruby, which is what I named the van. I was like, I know Ruby's probably out of my price range, but... I'm looking for a Westie, if you would just keep your eyes peeled for me. And then they kind of came up with an offer for me, and they're like, well, let's just make it work with Ruby. So I ended up buying Ruby back, which was incredible. It was the best reunion ever. So then it kind of just turned into a long-term partnership relationship with Go Westie, and they've been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Really, really good humans, and some of our best friends now. Yeah, so that's how I ended up with Ruby.
So cool.
Yeah.
And so where were you during that time period before you had bought Ruby back? Did you go back to a home, or did you go back, or were you living in the Buick again?
I did go back to a home.
Okay.
So I grew up in Montana, and then I went to school in Missoula, Montana for a few years, and then I transferred to a music school in Boston. And then after Boston, I dropped out of college, moved back to Montana, and eventually ended up in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
About 6 years ago, I moved down to Nashville. And so I did have a place there. I was renting an attic from some friends of mine, which was really crazy. It was completely... what's the word I'm thinking of? Non-insulated.
Okay.
So, like, Nashville summer is just, like, brutally hot. Nashville winter is just so, so cold.
Mm.
But it was really cheap, and it was a place to leave all my stuff, because at that point, I was touring like 9 months of the year. And so I did have a place to go back to in Nashville, which is what I did after the first tour with Ruby. I went back to Nashville and then was kind of in the Buick off and on when I wasn't in the attic.
the attic and the Buick.
Yeah. I did have a home base for a while, and then when I bought Ruby, I decided that I no longer wanted to pay rent at all, and just went full-time into the van.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's incredible. An addict. I'm, like, really picturing, like, spider webs.
Oh, my goodness. It was so... I mean, I love the people that I lived with. Mm-hmm. They're some of my dearest friends. But God, that attic was, it was something else. Like, there was, especially with me being gone for, like, months at a time, I would come home and there would be, like, a new mouse infestation or something that I would have to deal with. And, like, yeah, just cobwebs and, like, constant bug issues. And it was a place that I would love to live in that house again with those humans, because mm-hmm. it was such a cool space creatively. Mm. And I really, really felt at home there. But in terms of the attic, I hope that I never have to live in a place like that again.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so you, I'm just so curious, when did you meet this hunk of a man, Lee?
Ah, Lee.
Yeah, so, because you traveled for, it was more than 6 months solo, right?
Yeah, I traveled for about 4 years solo, okay. I want to say.
Like, three without a relationship.
Without a relationship, yeah. Trying to think when I started touring. Mm-hmm. I did do some solo travel before I really started touring, but then, again, I kind of got into solo touring by default mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. I never intended to travel alone. I was always very scared of it. Mm-hmm. And then the first big tour that I planned, I was supposed to have an instrumentalist with me, and she kind of just ducked out without saying anything. We were supposed to meet in a city to play a show, and then from there we had like 3 months that we were supposed to be on the road together, and she just didn't show up. And I couldn't really, at that point in my life, I had no other way of making money beyond playing shows. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like I had to follow through with the tour even if she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I kind of just had to do it, and I'm really, really glad that it worked that way, because that set me on the solo path, mm-hmm. which was so much less scary than I had imagined it to be. Mm-hmm. And then that opened up, you know, an incredible world of opportunity for me to mm-hmm. be able to explore by myself. So yeah, I did tour for, yeah, like 3 or 4 years by myself, and then I met Lee at a music festival in Montana a few years back, and we were friends for quite a while, for a few years, I want to say a couple years maybe, and we just kept bumping into each other on the road, which I think is...
Was he also on the road himself at that time?
He was, yeah, he was touring with a band.
Oh yeah, The Last Rebel.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So he was touring full-time as well, and I feel like in the music community of touring folk artists, you end up just running into the same people over and over again. And he and I, yeah, kept bumping into each other on the road, and eventually went on a date in Denver, I think. we both ended up in Denver, and we're like, let's grab a beer. And we're like, all right, that was a date, maybe. And then I think a month or two later, we both were in Chicago at the same time, and so we went on another date there. And pretty immediately, we were like, yeah, this works really well. And so he was living, he was based out of Minneapolis at the time, and I was based out of Nashville. And that was right around the time that I got Ruby. And so I gave up my place in Nashville, went full-time into the van, and kind of moved everything up to a storage unit in Wisconsin with him. So we went pretty immediately from, like, first date to long distance relationship for like a month to living together in a van.
Wow.
It was very, very quick.
So you guys have lived here together for 3 years now?
We've been in here together for 2 years almost.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had Ruby by myself for about a year, and then yeah, we've been in here 2 years together.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Because there's this like kind of this joke going around that, like, if you can live in a van with somebody, you know they're right for you. Like, a lot of people, like, with partners, like, let's try this out. Because if we can do this, then we can get married.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really believe that, because the struggles and the triumphs are so profound.
Totally.
And when you go through that with another individual, it's mm-hmm. like you really get to like the crux of them and really understand them as
Absolutely.
A whole and yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You learn a lot about each other in a very, very short amount of time,
mm-hmm.
which I think worked really well for us. We discussed it from the very beginning, knowing that we were in this brand new relationship and we really wanted it to work. I guess we felt a little bit like moving into a van together might be a bad idea, but then at the same time, you know, this was our lifestyle and it wasn't really going to change, and so we figured it's either going to work or it's not, and we'd rather know right away.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Like, just cut to the chase. You may as well know, instead of spending all these years building up and
exactly.
then maybe doing something epic, it's like, let's do this.
Yeah, we were like, let's just dive in, and if it doesn't work, then it'll blow up and we'll be done, and that's fine, we'll know. And thankfully it worked. We just got engaged this summer, a month or two ago, up in Alaska. So it's been very interesting and awesome to travel with a partner and kind of figure each other out in this very strange space.
Totally. And so a lot of your songs, for at least from that album that we've been speaking about,
mm-hmm.
are about loneliness.
Absolutely.
And so I came across you in the first place from my dear friend Santi.
Yeah.
And specifically, there's this one lyric or, you know, song line that we love, and it's the part where you're driving like for hours and hours and your eyes are getting tired
mm-hmm.
on the highway, and then you kind of look beside
and
like see the person.
Absolutely.
And we really resonated with that. Like, it's just so amazing to have a musician
mm-hmm.
that you love and dig and are so moved by the songs because you can relate.
Sure.
Like, it's this almost this like immediate sense of bonding, because like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Totally.
And the breakdowns that you talk about, but the loneliness mm-hmm. is what I wanted to speak to.
Yeah.
Did that go away for you when you met Lee? Or...
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Because
I think that there's a lot of people that feel as if as soon as they meet their person, that mm-hmm. loneliness goes away.
Right.
Or as soon as I have a bigger house or a better van, that loneliness goes away.
Right.
So I just wanted to ask that.
Yeah, I think... I really, really longed for a partner. I think when I was touring by myself, I very much cherish my alone time, and we're still figuring out our vibe within the van, because I do need a lot of alone time, and I process things differently. I'm typically a lot more in my head, and Lee is a lot more vocal. I think I really, really wanted someone around when I was alone, because there's all these moments that are really, really beautiful on the road, that if you only have them for yourself, it feels not as fulfilling or something. There's, kind of unfulfilled in these really beautiful sunrises or mountainscapes or, all these things that I was experiencing by myself, that I just felt like I really wanted someone that could have that memory with me, that I could share those moments with. And I will say that having Lee around, like, that aspect of it, I think has changed. Like, I feel less loneliness. I feel more fulfilled in those moments when we do share something really incredible on the road. But there is still a little bit of that longing that I think, like you were speaking to, like, it doesn't necessarily just go away. I think as humans, we're kind of constantly looking for the next best thing. No matter what we have, it doesn't ever seem to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely struggle with that. Even having found my person,
mm-hmm.
And having my dream home on wheels, and my career's going well, and there's still, like, that little voice that's like, oh, it's not enough. There's still something else that you need. And I think finding a community within van life has helped a lot with that, because this lifestyle, especially as musicians, where we're constantly moving, it can be really, really hard to maintain relationships with family and with friends and people who don't necessarily understand the way that we live. And so finding our community within van life itself has been really important.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of like have someone else to relate to beyond our partner.
Totally. Yeah. And you just touched on something so beautiful that I really feel and have come to learn. I used to think that the ideal was being independent.
Yeah.
I used to think that, actually, yeah, it makes me emotional in the most beautiful way.
Yeah.
Because I'm an only child, mm-hmm. and was kind of taught to, like, survive on my own and, you know, go out there and travel and do epic shit by yourself.
Yeah.
And this is really, people hold their hands up to you.
Totally.
And I've just come to realize, like, through the summer and through being, like, completely immersed in community, mm-hmm. that's actually where the magic is.
Yeah.
It's sharing it with others.
Totally.
Like, you can only enjoy, like, if you come across this most beautiful fruit tree, mm-hmm. you can only enjoy it so much on your own.
Right.
But absolutely. To share that with somebody else, whoever else that person is.
Yeah.
Brings so much more joy.
Absolutely.
And I really, really like what you said, because I think that, like, honestly, just being very vulnerable, that's been something hard for me to admit, is that, like, mm-hmm. I do feel this longing as well.
Sure.
Like, I want to share this, too. Like, yeah. I feel, like, similar to what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually mm-hmm. the most innate thing for humans.
Yeah,
if you go back to our roots, love and belonging, right?
Right.
And belonging is community and sharing and...
Yeah.
And just look around. Right now we're looking outside at all these vans and descend.
Yeah.
Like, this is, everybody wants this. So of course this is going to do well.
Yeah,
of course it's going to be successful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you just touched on a point that has been really fascinating for me to work through as I now have a partner. Mm. You said, you know, kind of the pedestal of like being independent, especially as a woman on the road. I think my identity for so long when I started traveling got really wrapped around this idea of like the independent solo female traveler, like out there doing it, like no fear. I really, really loved, I think I got a lot of fulfillment from the idea that people admired my bravery. Because I was out there by myself and kind of doing something that I had been scared to do and that I knew a lot of other people were scared to do, it felt really empowering to be looked up to as someone brave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a really interesting change now, traveling with a male partner, that I've really struggled with, trying to maintain my independence mm-hmm. and maintain that, like, confident aspect of myself while still having someone that I now rely on and I'm a partner to, and we do everything together, mm-hmm. and I definitely need him mm-hmm. now at this point. And that's been really scary for me to be like, oh, I actually need someone, and my identity has been very conflicted with that, trying to figure out who I am as part of something else instead of just who I am as, like, the badass lone traveler
mm-hmm.
girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just hold a mirror up.
Yeah.
This is really badass because I can relate in a lot of ways. What's brave mm-hmm. is that you're following your heart. What's brave is that you are, you just said, I'm scared, you know, I fear losing my identity within this relationship.
Sure.
What's brave is that you're actually doing that, because the truth is it's easier to be by yourself.
Wow, yeah.
Dude.
That's a really fascinating thought.
Like,
it is.
And so I know exactly what you mean. Like, at the beginning and stuff, there is this idea, this persona of, like, this, yeah, lone wolf.
Yeah. Exactly.
Traveler. But actually, what's challenging is coming together. What's challenging is what you and Lee are doing.
It's totally.
Living in here. That's fucking brave.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is brave. And like, figuring out your identity and, you know, you're doing the work.
Yeah.
That is brave. And
Thank
so I
you.
Think it's, like, really about perspective.
Sure.
Because it is easier to stay on your own. as much as it's very the difficultest thing, it's also easier.
Yeah, when you don't have to rely on or support anyone else. That's so true. I'd never looked at it that way. That's really... Thank you for that perspective. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for helping me get clear, because I just, like, we always mirror people, right? Like, that that's helped me solidify some of my thoughts as well.
Yeah.
And I was curious about... It's interesting that you shared this with me. I didn't know this about songwriters. It reminds me a lot about rock climbers.
Okay.
So I've podcasted quite a lot with dirtbags, I guess. They like to call themselves, so I call myself that. Yeah. Because this lifestyle kind of just fits into place. Like, there's no trying. It's, you're not going to live at one house and drive 6 hours to the rock climbing wall each day.
Right.
It's like you're going to go and, you know, sleep 10 minutes right beside the big national park or whatever. But have you ever felt any tension or from your other fellow songwriters and performers? Like, or did they kind of idolize this lifestyle? Like, I want to know how you were perceived, like, within that group of friends. Like, because, you know, for example, like, a lot of people still don't idolize this lifestyle. They think that, like, it's optimal to have, a big house, especially if you're, like, doing well with music and stuff. There's, like, this whole idea of what that looks like.
Right.
But I was wondering if maybe, like, the folk was different, or... Because, like, Lee was doing as well with the band.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I don't know that I've experienced or noticed... any, like, specific reaction or response from fellow musicians. I think we haven't met a lot of musicians that are doing what we're doing. A lot of our friends or, you know, fellow songwriters are touring pretty much as often as we are, but they do have a home to go back to. It's not a full-time thing. But, yeah, I guess I've never really noticed any real conversation about it. It's kind of always just like, oh, that's smart. You guys live in the van.
Okay,
it kind of just makes sense, I guess, to a lot of songwriters. But with us being solo, it's much easier to live in a traveling space where a lot of people have bigger bands and more people to accommodate...
equipment.
That's true too. We have very minimal gear, so for us it just kind of works really well, and I think a lot of other songwriters or musicians it wouldn't necessarily be as fitting.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. So I guess it has a lot to do with the life you live. Like, for example, like, as a nurse, people are like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, like, I'm not practicing right now, per se.
Right.
But, because it doesn't necessarily suit the lifestyle.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, I think people don't find it that strange, just because I don't know if we necessarily give off the like, we're van lifers, vibe. We don't necessarily say like, oh, we're traveling full-time. We always say we're on tour full-time. And so the van life, again, it's just kind of a byproduct of our job. Like, we've talked about it a lot, and if this wasn't our career path, we very likely would not be in a van. I don't know that we would choose this lifestyle if it weren't for our career path.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I felt like I heard maybe a bit of like whispers around you guys wanting to get a property. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay. Or maybe you told me.
Yeah. We've been looking at houses for about a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what area?
Montana? In Nashville. We started looking in Montana, where I'm from, but, eventually we decided that Nashville's the smartest place to stay for now. Montana is incredible and we love it there, but I feel like the friend group that we have there, they're all settling down and having kids and, you know, skiing every weekend and having stable jobs. And we kind of figured that if we go back to Montana right now, we likely would not be creating or staying as motivated with music as we could be. Mm-hmm. So we decided that Nashville was the smarter move for now. And we've realized that van life for our relationship is not the healthiest situation.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely make it work, and we really love that we have the privilege to be in this space together and travel and work together. But at the same time, doors would be really nice occasionally, mm-hmm. and having space to spread out. We've kind of decided that for the sake of our relationship, having a little more stability would be really, really nice.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if that would also help with the writer's block a little bit.
I wonder
if you need, like, your space, like, because you had said you process a lot inside, and, mm-hmm. and I do too, and,
yeah.
Like, really, like, your space to, you know, like, go and write if you want, or not see anybody for a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's definitely a huge part of the decision.
Okay.
I have a really hard time with the vulnerability of writing, mm-hmm. even sharing something that is completely finished is still very vulnerable for me, but the writing process itself, before it's perfected, mm-hmm. and before I'm absolutely certain that that's what I want to say and that's what I'm comfortable sharing, I have a really hard time sharing that process with anyone, even with Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being in such a small, confined space without my privacy ever, mm-hmm. makes it really, really hard for me to write.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he is completely, totally fine sharing whatever's in his brain, and he writes, you know, a song a day.
Wow.
With no problem, which is great. But yeah, I think I need a little more space, mm-hmm. for my creativity. And I'm really, really hoping that having a place, at least for the winters, like, we will definitely keep the van and still do really long tours in the summer.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that, like, at least a few months in one space with some privacy, mm-hmm. will kind of help me get back into my writing again.
Well, and I can also imagine, you don't have to answer this, but mm-hmm. I'm just talking to you, is, it could also be maybe a bit discouraging when, mm-hmm. like, you're both songwriters, like, separately,
sure.
as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have a beautiful co-relationship, and that's awesome, but you're also separate people.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing somebody busting out a song a day,
yeah.
and feeling stuck,
mm-hmm.
I could imagine would be, like, a lot of turmoil inside. Like, it's a bit
totally.
Discouraging. Like, you feel like, fuck, like,
right.
this sucks.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me or something?
Right, why is it so easy for them and I'm struggling so much?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's really interesting to have the dynamic of both of us being in such similar situations with our careers. Mm-hmm. We're both in very similar genres,
mm-hmm.
And very similar stages within our careers. And we, you know, try as we do, there's still always going to be that comparison of, you know, one of us getting a slot at a festival and one of us not, or
right.
one of us being recognized in some contest and one of us not, or even, yeah, as little things as one of us being able to write a song every day and
yeah.
one of us not. And having that comparison, I feel, sometimes can be stifling,
mm-hmm.
for either of us. So that, yeah, that's definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you for being so honest with me and open.
Absolutely.
Like, these are hard things that we're chatting
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of personal. And,
totally.
But I think it's really important, because when we speak our truth, people always relate.
Yeah.
Like, they do. When
that's,
you really
yeah.
speak your truth, somebody else out there, or even me, like, for a lot of our conversation, like, I
yeah.
feel it, and it helps me grow as well.
Yeah, that's always been my experience, is... the more honest and vulnerable you can be, the more people you can connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all surprisingly feel very similar,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time, even if we don't share it.
It's like that typical example that's blown my mind, but when you're in a lecture or class or, you
mm-hmm.
know, university, and you want to ask a question, but you're so scared,
yeah.
and you're like... But you put your hand up, and
right.
you're like, oh, this is so stupid. Nobody, like, everybody probably already knows.
Mm-hmm.
Put your hand up. And then everybody's like, oh, thank God,
right.
you asked. I've been wondering this whole time.
Exactly.
So you help everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
So a couple more questions here, sure. And I know your time is limited.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know if you guys found a house first. Like, is, or you're still...
No, we're hidden. Still... It's been a really long process. Mm-hmm. I had no idea how frustrating buying a home is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been looking for just over a year now, and we've made a couple offers that we didn't... that we ended up being outbid.
Mm-hmm.
We've very, very recently, like in the last week, started considering potentially not buying, but renting for a winter.
Mm.
I have a hard time with commitment, and watching the economy right now, it feels a bit unstable, and we're not sure anymore if buying a house at this moment is the right financial decision.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're kind of actually, yeah, going back and forth at the moment on whether we really want to buy this year or whether we want to maybe just rent for a while so that we have that space, but we still have the ability to duck back into the van full time if we need to, or if we want to. So yeah, we do not have a place yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the perfect place will come.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, if it's not right, then, yeah, renting for a bit and feeling that out. And, like, who knows? You might be like, I ain't into this.
Right.
Actually, matter of fact, totally. I really need the van by myself, or I really need the van with you. Like, you know, you never know what it might develop into.
Absolutely.
Huh.
Yeah, I think it'll be good to... I mean, we've been in the van for so long now that, yeah, I'm not sure how a space bigger than this will feel. So yeah, I think it'll be nice to maybe like test it out first.
Yeah.
And see if we actually do prefer being on the road full time.
That's so interesting, because like people try out van life.
Yeah.
And now for us it's like, okay, let's try out living at home. Like, let's like put a couch here.
Yeah.
How does this feel?
Yeah, like get furniture and I know.
Have like multiple dishes to have like people over.
I know. But all these like you said, it's kind of a strange thing that like that's the weird for us, where that's the norm obviously for most of society, and for us we're like, oh, that feels really strange to like have a space larger than 70 square feet for two people.
Yeah.
Totally. A bed that just stays a bed.
Oh my gosh.
All the time.
Yeah. Breaking your back, hitting your head trying to make a bed.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah.
And so I want to know what it feels like for you when you're on stage playing music.
How do I explain that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the most general way I could describe it is my comfort zone. I tend to have a lot of social anxiety, and meeting new people or trying to have conversations with new people typically really stresses me out. But for some reason, being on stage and being able to share my vulnerability, for some reason that feels really, really comfortable. And actually allows me to be able to converse a little more easily, I think, with people. I feel like when I can get my stories out on stage and share this really genuine human connection on a really honest level with people, then the conversations that follow that tend to be more meaningful or more human. Somehow, not so surface level small talk, but it's like, okay, I just dumped out my soul in front of you, and now we're gonna have a conversation. So now we're immediately cutting through the bullshit and kind of just like getting down to real emotions and real conversations.
It breaks walls.
Absolutely.
It breaks walls.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And has that always, like, have you been playing music since you were a little girl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom always jokes that I sang before I talked, and I started playing piano when I was like 4 or 5. And it, yeah, music has just been, it's always been my main passion, like the one true love of my entire life. Which feels, I feel really, really fortunate for that. Growing up, I just always knew what I wanted to do with my life. I wasn't necessarily
sure.
Which was
like a singer-songwriter, like that was
it. Yeah, I wasn't sure about songwriting. Yeah. I actually didn't get into songwriting until my early 20s. But I always knew that music in some form, like I always loved singing, I always loved performing, and I knew that that was what I wanted to do, even if I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really fortunate thing to have in my life. I've met so many people that don't necessarily have this driving passion, and so they seem a little lost in the world. They're not sure what they're supposed to be doing or where they're supposed to be. And I've definitely experienced that emotion, but I've always known that, like, but music, somehow I need to get to be doing music. Yeah, and I feel really lucky to have that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it can be really isolating when you don't know what you're striving towards.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Which is also beautiful and very important too at different parts of your life.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah, I feel very privileged as well to like know what I love and
yeah,
what I'm
absolutely.
Really drawn to.
Yeah.
So then tell me about like your next couple months. Just like what can people expect from you or what can you expect from yourself?
Well, after this, I'm doing, so September and October are both pretty full months of shows. Definitely my busiest of the summer. So I'll be doing some shows on the West Coast in the next couple weeks. And then a short bit in Nashville. And then I'll be doing the Women on the Road meetup.
In Moab.
Yeah, in Moab.
Awesome, okay.
Yeah, so that'll be, I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's a really special space.
And you've been there before?
I went to the Women on the Road meetup last year in Taos. And it was just incredible. So I'm really excited to go back to that this year. And then from there, I work through the East Coast and the Midwest with a friend of mine named Andrea Von Kampen. We'll be playing a bunch of shows through October, and then I meet back up with Lee kind of end of October, and we head back down to Nashville. And then it's kind of house searching and hopefully writing and potentially recording. Yeah.
What is stopping you from recording this? Like, you shared it with us, your new songs.
Yeah.
Or a couple.
Yeah.
And heard a couple in Taos as well. What is stopping you from recording that album?
I only have 3 songs right now.
Okay.
From the last 2 years. So.
And do you need to have, like, a full in order to record? You can't do it
not
in part?
Not necessarily. I have recorded 1 song in the last year. That I've kind of just been slowly piecing together with my producer. I guess the only thing that's been kind of stopping me from recording is just the fact that we're not in Nashville right now.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily have the equipment or the skills to record very well in the van.
Well, here you go. You got a mic. Let's do it.
So, yeah, that's kind of the only thing is just... I definitely will be recording at least 2 more songs when we get back to Nashville, just when I have the studio and my producer and instrumentalists and all that. So,
and for ways for people to support you or find you, is Spotify the best way? Just type in Ira Wolf.
Yeah, Spotify is great. You can follow me on there. My website is kind of directs to a bunch of different areas.
And that shares like your upcoming dates of where you're
playing.
It does,
yeah. Yeah. I've got a calendar on there. I have a newsletter sign up on there that I have not been awesome at keeping up on, but I try to send out newsletters sporadically to kind of say where I'm touring or what news there is to share. But yeah.
Okay. So, and that's just irawolf.com?
Or? Irawolfmusic.com.
Okay.
Yeah. I think all of my, irawolfmusic.com, at irawolfmusic on all the socials. And
yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing this space
Absolutely.
With me. Absolutely. I feel like we could talk for a long time.
Same.
Yeah. I feel like there's lots more to explore.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be emceeing, like, very soon, so I think I...
Right, yeah, I think we have to, like, drive very soon, yeah. But I'm glad we got to talk.
Thank you so much for sharing and opening up to me, and
absolutely.
I look forward to catching you on the road again soon.
Yeah.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I just wanted to share that I'm so, so grateful for everybody who's followed along on my journey, and just recently at Descend on Bend, I've had this interesting experience where I'll be walking and somebody will be like, Nikki, and tag me down and hug me, and you guys have been sharing that you've been listening along, and that is really, really beautiful, and I'm really grateful for just everybody who's supporting and tuning into this podcast. So you can expect a lot more, and we'll see you soon.
If you liked this episode and others, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen. It helps others find this podcast, and it helps us succeed. Thanks a lot.